More than a horse today, catching up with Lyndall Conroy and Fear Not, or as she's more affectionately known as Bridie. Is that how we say it, Lyndall?
Bitey.
Bitey. So it is Bitey. So does she bite?
No. No, she doesn't. Dad and I are pretty strong Simpsons fans. So when we bought her from the sales, we bought another one as well, which is Winnie Cooper. And Dad got to name Bitey and I got to name Winnie. So he gave her the fabulous name of Agnes, which none of us really enjoyed. And then he would keep saying, oh, I call the big one Bitey, which is a Simpsons episode. So that's just how it stuck in the end. So
she wasn't Bitey initially, she was Angus.
Agnes, yes. Yeah, the hideous name of Agnes, he decided to call her. And I wouldn't stand for it. So then he just kept saying, oh, well, I call the big one Bitey. And that's how it stuck.
That's very different. That's typical Glenn Conroy.
It's typical G. Conroy humour.
And we are in Muskvale, did you just say?
Muskvale,
which is just outside of Dalesford, a suburb of Dalesford. I didn't know that existed, but that's okay.
Yes.
And you are obviously a Conroy and of the Conroy clan. I wanted to do this one with you because More Than a Horse, as I said, proudly brought to you by Woodland Stud and in conjunction with NZ Bloodstock. Make sure you get involved with, they've got 36 lots going through their New Zealand Bloodstock yearling sales this year. So make sure you get onto both websites, which is woodlandstud.co.nz or nzb.co.nz and check out all their lots. I'll highlight a couple of lots towards the end of it. But I wanted to come here because harness racing is about big names and big performers and the likes. But it's also about small people and the generational people, which is exactly what the Conroys are. They are a generational family. They've been in the industry for a long time. And this horse and yourself, you encapsulate social media, which is something that doesn't happen very well with the Conroy family, does it?
No, it doesn't. Dad would like a bit more of a gig on social media, and I'm his secretary for his gold hunting adventures.
On Instagram, we must say, gold hunting.
Hashtag gold hunting Glenn. But yeah, look, I love my horses, and I know you shouldn't say you have a favourite, but I completely have a favourite, which is Bitey. And every time we go out and do something, I'd like to snap a photo, and I'm proud. You know, I want to pop it up. On social media, I have to look at everyone's kids and what they're doing, so I want them to look at my horse and what she's doing.
And you are very, very proud of her. I remember, we'll go back actually right to the start, I think it was APT Premier Sale that you actually purchased. So you didn't pay a lot of money for her, you and Dad?
No, she was the first lot to come out, and we paid.
Because Dad missed out the year before, didn't he? Didn't get to take one home.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we went with our big checkbook the year before and desperately wanted to buy one and missed out, yeah. So then we decided to come back with a vengeance and go again. And we bought two. So we bought Fear Not and Winnie Cooper.
She wasn't an expensive buy?
No. She was 4,000 plus GST. So,
yeah.
Which now it's, she's close to 175,000 in earnings. And she's the fifth, and after Saturday night she'll be the fourth, I think it's the fourth or the fifth highest earner for the whole sale. So it's, you know, it's fantastic. We just love it.
You'd have to be proud of that little stat.
Oh, look, absolutely. After she comes off the track and on the way home, the first thing I do is go to the trotting website, the Premier Sales trotting website, and have a look at the stats and the numbers and where she's at. So I'm pretty sure she's the top five. She's closing in on fourth. So
Robbie Orber and Dan Malecki, when they do the Trots Vision, they call her the ATM because she just keeps going around and earning money. You got to go back though to the start of her career, 36 starts before she won a restricted race.
Yeah.
You got to say, so that's a $1,500 race back in those days. So it was a restricted race, and it was another 48 starts after that before she actually won her first official race.
Yeah, look, absolutely. It's when people get carrying on and having a sook that they've raced in five races and their horse hasn't won, I just roll my eyes and think, oh, well, you'll be right, you know, go again. But because she was the first horse we bought from the sales, we kept persevering, and I think it was probably her sixth race. we were in a group one. So, you know, she's, even though she didn't win until 30 odd starts, we were living the high life. I was the first horse I've ever owned in a group one. It's amazing, you know, it was so exciting. And yeah, she rewarded us with a win in a restricted, and then we kept on pushing on.
Did you, I'll get to the excitement part in a sec, but did you ever doubt that she'd win? Like after a period of time, you know, like 36 starts a long time, like it's over a year for a lot of people, like as far as they race them, did you?
Not in our world, Paulie, no. We pumped the starts through.
But did you start to worry?
No. Obviously Dad trains her, and he said, she'll win one, you know, she will win one, Lyndall. We've just got to get in the right place. And she's always been determined, and she's always tried. And, you know, that's a quality that a lot of horses don't have. And we just, you know, we love it, and we just kept on pressing on, and eventually she got her win.
What was the elation like? I mean, you're, as I said, you're a generational family. It's not like it's your first win, but can you describe, actually, can you remember that first win? I think it was at Kilmore.
Yeah, bloody oath, I can remember it, absolutely. Yeah, it was at Kilmore, and it was a really hot day. And obviously in a restricted, you know, the field's not full of class. And Dad and I we're very superstitious, so we don't like to say before a race, oh, we think, you know, today could be the day, or anything like that. So we were both a little bit toey and just gearing her up and business as usual. And I was sitting in the grandstand, as I do, to watch the race. And, you know, she kept on toughing it out and managed to win. And I was shaking. I was so excited. You would have thought I'd won the Melbourne Cup, not a restricted race.
You can let her go, doll. She's fine.
During the day. And it was just fabulous, you know, to have, when Dad came into the parade ring and I gave him a big hug and a kiss, and gave her a pat, and, you know, Ian was taking our photo, and I said to him, of course, I want to order a photo. And yeah, it was just great.
That's what harness racing is, and I love it. Did you move? Like, I'm a little bit, you say about superstitious, but especially with trotters, you want them to keep trotting. Was there a point of time where you said, right, I've just got to sit, not cheer, just breathe, and just wait for it to happen?
Anyone who knows me or who's watched a race anywhere near me knows that I cheer, that's impossible. I start off quietly and then I build. I can normally keep quiet for the first lap and a half, and then I start to get a little bit out of hand. No, you know, it's all about enjoying yourself, and I don't care what people think. You know, if people think that I'm a bit crazy because I'm into it and I love it and getting excited, well, that's on them. But I do always tend to sit in the same places. Oh, yeah. At the racetracks.
You do have some superstitions.
Yeah.
What happens if someone's sitting on your seat? Do you go up and kick them, or?
No, but I do sort of try to tend to stick in certain areas. Yeah.
So she eventually won her race.
Yep.
And you said there before that she'd had six starts, she contested a group one race.
Oh, six, around the six mark, not, that's not set.
But she hadn't won a race at that stage, so I mean, like she was still coming through. What is the fascination with you guys and the group ones? Like, a lot of people would look at it and, you know, you started 100-1 many times, 151-1.
Saturday night, Paulie. This same. Saturday night, you know. Prime example, you know, she's in the feature, she's in the group one, she's drawn seven, she's racing fantastic horses. And obviously she's the outsider, and, you know, if you try to look at a weakest link when you're racing Dance Craze and horses like that, she is the weakest link. But we just love it. We get excited about the sign and the glitz and the glamour, and, you know, touch wood, she'll always try, you know. And when she races the better class horses, the faster pace suits her. And Dad's main draw card that he loves to say to people when they say, well, why are you racing in a group one when you're no chance? He said, well, I'm guaranteed $1,000 for turning up. So, yeah.
But I think it's a bit more than that, isn't it?
Is it $1,000 with the?
No, I mean, I think it's a bit more than just the money today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, he, as much as he pretends he doesn't like her getting all dolled up and blinged up, you know, he enjoys it as well. It's a night out, and Dad and I love spending time together, and we make a really good team. So for us, we load up in the car and load Bitey up, or in the truck, and have our thermos and snacks on the way, and get to have a bit of a social outing, get to watch some great racing, and be involved, and come home.
I'll get to that part probably a little bit further down the track, but what is her greatest attribute, like, as a horse? Like, when she was a horse, you know, 36 starts and hadn't, what is her greatest attribute? Not necessarily on the racetrack, but what draws you to this horse? I mean, we've got, there's half a dozen horses around here, and I know they're all your favourites, but this one, she's that little bit more favoured, I think I'd be right to say. I don't think Hattie will mind. She's a paddock mate, and I don't think she'll mind too much saying that she's probably she's your P1, isn't she?
Yeah, look, Dad likes to say, when I ask him about my sister and I don't have a favourite, I have a least favourite, which always makes me laugh. But yeah, look, she is my favourite.
What makes her your favourite?
I think she's just quirky. You know, there's so many little facets to her that, which just amuse me, you know. I think when we're at the races and she's carrying on like a pork chop and squealing and being hormonal, and she's probably not everyone else's favourite. And normally any other horse, it would frustrate me when they're so hard to get along with. But it just, I don't know, I just find it amusing. She's just got that spunk to her. So I think early on she began really hard to travel. She wouldn't travel with another horse, and it started to become a nightmare. And so it would be, if we had two horses in, I would have to drive a car and float, and Dad would have to drive a car and float, because she just point blank would go mental in the float. And so I started sort of researching it and trying all different things, you know, putting a hood on her and a fly veil and float boots. And then I was reading a book about a man who had a show jumper that was really hard to travel, and he played at music. So the next start, I got out the iPad and popped it in the float with her and started to play her music, and did not move a muscle. She did not move a muscle. And so every start since then, so probably 200 starts, she listens to her country music on the way and on the way home to the races. And, you know, things like that, I just like it. I think she's really clever, because I'm sure a lot of horses wouldn't give two hoots, but if her music's not on, she will play up. Or if it turns off, she'll start fidgeting in the float and you can feel her. And yeah, it just amuses me.
I've got to ask it. What is her favourite singer? does she have a favourite singer? I suppose there's a flip side of that. Like, is there certain country western music that she doesn't like, or have you, just as long as there's something played?
It's generally just sort of that country music. On Spotify we listen to, so I think the playlist is called Country Party. But I don't know why. I don't know why it is the country music. I've tried other things, and whether it's with the country music, you know, it's a bit more vocal, so whether she thinks it's sort of more human people talking.
Yep.
And that sort of background noise is what she likes. I don't know, but everyone says, oh, do you play her pump up music like Eye of the Tiger? And I'm like, no. No, you know, she enjoys a bit of the Dixie Chicks and things like that.
She does, and she's just actually here. She's actually been a good girl. She wants to I think play with a little foal. Next one. So you've got this horse that doesn't like traveling.
Yep.
Can be a handful to do anything with. Can be a handful around the horse stalls.
Yep.
Took nearly 80 starts before she won a proper race.
Yep.
And you just love her.
Yep.
You dote around her and all the rest.
Yep.
And she's just got better, hasn't she? As she started progressing through her racing career.
Yep.
She was a horse that was going to win a maiden. That was fine. I'll agree with that. I was doing a lot of trots form and all the rest at the time. She was going to win a maiden. It had to be the right maiden, the right tempo, but she was going to win it.
It was going to happen.
Then she starts making up numbers in Group 1 racing and all the rest, and she doesn't get tailed off, and she's run placings in Group 1 races. Yep. She just has slowly progressed her way through to being what harness racing, I think, is about, and what I'm trying to bring with, you know, she's more than a horse, because she is actually more than a horse, isn't she? She is. She's part of your family, and she's a strange unit as well.
Yes, yeah. I think quirky sounds a bit more pleasant to describe her. But yeah, look, she's not easy to get along with. Everybody sort of says, oh, there's Fear Not, you know, isn't she great? And she is, but she's a pain in the bum. You know, it's nearly every day when Dad works her, there's a time when she toys with bolting. You know, it takes the flick of a switch and she will lose the plot. It's a very fine line between going full bore out the bush by Dad's choice or by Bidey's choice. So
I'm fortunate enough that we're always nearby each other at the races, and we have a mare that can be a little bit cantankerous. And it's a lot of fun when the pair of them really get in a bad mood. So I can attest that she is definitely a handful.
Yep.
The other part that I think this horse does do, the bond that yourself and your dad have, and I'm presuming it's in life in general, but just taking this horse to the races, like, and I think that's one thing that we probably sell short, everyone does, on how great it is sometimes to race horses and just be a part of a story. And this horse and yourself are a great story that's being told, I think, in front of our eyes. I think a lot of people probably take it for granted, but, you know, your dad is an old school horseman.
Yeah,
he dotes around his daughter with his cantankerous filly that needs country and western music playing in the truck. But he actually loves it, and he shines upon it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. You know, Dad's and my relationship is something that I'm really proud of. You know, we work so well together, and we just enjoy it. And you know, Dad, his skill set with the horses is unbelievable. It's amazing just to watch him on a day-to-day basis. You know, he does all of our shoeing, he deals with all the problem horses, you know, and he's a man's man as well. And then next minute you see him driving Bidey out in the parade ring covered in bling and her forelock plaited and her mane plaited, but he enjoys it, you know. He loves it because I love it. And I'm just blessed to have him.
Yeah, and it's a unique situation. What's the long-term plans with her? We've got a little foal behind us. She's by Sky Valley. We'll look after Duncan McPherson. Actually, nearly the Omen bet. This won't go out before Saturday night, but going around in the Aldebaran Park, Mari Mile and all the rest. But is that something that's on the radar down the track to breed from her, or are you going to just continue racing her, or what's her go?
Yeah, look, we will definitely breed from her. She'll live with us forever. In the early days, Dad would say, you know, when she's reached her limit in Victoria, we'll sell her on. And then I made a deal with him that if she made, I think it was 120,000 or more, we would keep her. So then obviously we hit that, and now we're up to, I think it's just shy of 175,000, and you know, it's our fantasy to hit 200. You know, that's our pipeline dream, and we'll keep racing her for as long as she's happy. I think she's not backwards in coming forwards, and she'll tell us when she's had enough, and you'll see. So, and then next stop, breed a baby Bidey.
Have we got earmarked to stay in?
We haven't, because we're still hopeful that there's still a few more seasons left in her. So with the stallions, it's ever so changeable as to the flavour of the month. And so no, we haven't. We're not huge big spenders. It's the Father Patrick, and that would be fabulous, but you know, probably a bit out of our price range. And our little foal that we have is by Shippy's stallion Louie, and we love him. He's a little ripper and he's a really nice type. The stallion at the moment that I like is used to me. You know, I'm all about bang for your buck, and I don't always think that you have to spend a lot of money to get a good horse. So, but look, that's a long way down the track with a bit of luck.
Woodland Stud, they sponsor this. They might be able to do a deal for you. We might be able to work one out. They've got a huge lot. As I said, they've got 36 lots going through the New Zealand NZB bloodstock yearling sales. So don't forget to check out those. I've been actually told by Mark Hughes to thoroughly recommend that people get on board and check out, I think it's lots. Got to have everything ready to go. Lots 88 and 76. So go to woodlandsstud.co.nz or nzb.co.nz and check out lots 88 and 76, both consigned by Woodland Stud. You might be able to do a deal going forward. That way we might be able to arrange a freebie. But it's a tricky choice, isn't it, to retire, because people say about retiring and all the rest. And
yep.
You know, I've done these with Wobblies and Red Hot Tooths and that, and yep. they're at the top of this game, and if they start to struggle, yeah, well, they'll get retired and all the rest. Kari said they've got unfinished business with Red Hot Tooth.
Yep.
This girl, the beauty of her, she's been a sensational horse for you guys and for harness racing, I think.
Yep.
But she's not actually at this upper echelon. Like, so she's always going to be able to race where she has been. And I think that's one of the great draw cards, which might make it harder for you guys to be able to sell her when you want to sell her.
Yeah, look, she'll never be sold now.
Breed from her. Sorry.
Yeah, look, it is sort of that fine line. You know, there was a couple of runs a few starts back where, you know, she was a tiny bit off, and I'd said to Dad, oh, do you think we should give her a little bit of a rest and a freshen up, and which is a big deal for me, because I love her racing. And he said, oh, well, we'll give her one more start, and you know, that'll be the line in the sand. And that was at Bendigo, and she ran a slasher and came third. So we said, oh, well, we'll keep on pressing on. But I do think the time will come when we will know. You know, it's even when she's back in her own class, we'll know she's had enough. We're very fortunate. She just keeps on plugging along, and we've spelled her once before, and we hated it and she hated it. Most horses, when they come back from a spell, look fabulous, and they're fat and round and shiny, and she lost weight, and every day she'd hang over the gate and call out to us. And so we just sort of keep on keeping on.
And I think that's what you've got to do, just keep on keeping on. Is there an actual win that you really enjoyed with her? Like, I think a lot of the times it doesn't have to be the best win, but has there been a win where you really enjoyed?
I would say probably there's a second that I absolutely loved. And so that was at Shepparton. It was a heat for the Lynn McPherson,
yep,
gold. And I have never been to Shepparton before. We like to have an hour and a half radius. We're a bit slack like that. And I think the first heat was at Ballarat, and Dad, as will come as a surprise to many, had done something a bit silly and been suspended. And so we missed the first heat at Ballarat, and I, right or wrong, wanted to go in the heat. And I said to him, well, we'll have to load up and go to Shepparton. I'm going in this heat. We're going to make it happen. And so he didn't have a leg to stand on because he'd been suspended through doing something silly. So we loaded up and took off to Shepparton. And obviously, you know, it was hot and it was a big drive, and we were both worried because we didn't know how well Bidey would have travelled that sort of distance. And she'd never been on the track, and she drew one, and it was a small field, but they were full of class. It was for a group one final, so she led, which anyone who follows Fear Not knows that's a big deal. And you know, she led the whole way and just got done. It was a photo finish, and just got done for second. And you know, it was fantastic. You know, it was so exciting to go to a new track and have, you know, leave at lunchtime, even though you're racing it in the night, and sort of go on a big road trip. And you know, she rewarded us and tried really hard. And you know, that was one of my absolute favorite starts.
That's what More Than a Horse is about, because they are more than a horse. It's not dollars. I mean, you rattled off there before that she's nearly $175,000. I'd imagine if she's won $1 you'd still love her the same way. I mean, prize money does help. There's no worries there.
Yep.
But to go all the way to Shepherd and to run second, and you've pulled that out as one of your highlights with her. Do you guys have a goal with her? Like, is there somewhere you'd like to get her to, perhaps, you know, like, is there a race? I know you got the 200,000 is one of your goals, but is there a race you would really like to win with her?
No. Dad and I aren't geared like that. No. You know, winning's great. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, it's fantastic, but that's not what drives us. The sheer enjoyment of being competitive is a big deal, and getting to race in the big features. You know, for her to race in the Dullard was huge. It was a huge deal for me because, you know, to have my granddad Bob, he won the Dullard, so for me to have a horse that we own together and race in the Dullard was amazing. You know, that's a huge tick off my bucket list. And you know, the Lightfoot Laurels and the Coulter Crown, and, you know, Dad and Grandad have won those races. So for me to say, well, look, I have a horse that's in that race is amazing. It's for me, that's what it's all about. It's not the money. It's not winning. It's just getting to know that I'm competitive and I get to go in it.
Lyndall Conroy, thank you very much. She's gone and put herself in a box. She's must be getting ready for tomorrow night to have a sleep. She's left us from behind. I was chasing her a little bit, but as I said, it's been more than a horse. Brought to you by Woodland Stud. I thank them very much, and I thank you very much, because as
thanks,
I said,
Paul,
this is harness racing at its greatest, and I think, you know, I reckon you're a great story, and hopefully we'll be keeping going for a couple more years to come. That's for sure. Lyndall, thank you.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, Paulie.